Good. We're kind of we're in transition at the minute between our series on the minor prophets, and then Exodus is now looming on the horizon. And I guess today's message is something in between those two. It's also the new year, and it occurred to me quite strongly in the last two or three weeks. January can be a difficult time for some people. I don't know if you're experiencing that. Sometimes after Christmas and the New Year's resolutions, if you've already broken 17 of them. There is also with the weather, and there is something about seasonal affective disorder. And I've noticed that there is a bit more depression around. And I'm sure you're not unaware of some of what's been talked about in social media. There's been a number of suicides and so on. And I actually think that behind the veil of that, there is spiritual warfare involved in the month of January. And I was just really struck in my own personal walk with God, you know, stay alert, Stephen. Stay in touch with the Lord. As the scripture says, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. And then I was interested how Tommy started the service feeling, you know, celebrating something of his own worthiness and weakness. And I feel a bit like that too this morning. For 2 days, I've had this, I never get sick. And for 2 days, I've been really, really sick. So there is available prayer for healing after the service with the healing team today. And I'm going to be first to sit there. But if you do need prayer for healing, as always, but particularly the second week, please come forward, be prayed for. And if depression is something you're battling, come forward and be prayed for that. I just thought to mention that. Or a viral infection. Of course, men don't get viral infections. We get something much more serious than that, don't we? Understanding the why. Here's a verse from Haggai 1, verse 7. Jason mentioned this in his talk. Thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. And I've been doing that a little bit in my own personal life. I've been considering my ways. I've been asking myself good questions. And sometimes it's good to ask why questions. Why are we studying the minor prophets? Because all scripture is of value, including the minor prophets. And sometimes we bypass certain books in the Bible. And why did we study the minor prophets? Because we were treating the minor prophets as the word of God, like all scripture. And we have proven that in the minor prophets, God will speak to us. He will change our lives. And we'll also find Christ. And you know, one of the things I was thinking about, you know, coming into the new year, if I was to simply tell you, here's four things I would really like you to do, you may or may not do them. Some people would. Other people would just be turned off as soon as you say, this is three or four things you should do in life. The rebel rises up in us and we refuse to do it. And sometimes we need to understand why we do certain things. And that gives us insight and motivation and understanding. Let me give you a few examples from everyday life. Have you noticed in the month of January, you'll get all these advertisements about diet and holidays and smoking, stopping smoking. And it's like the advertisers are taking advantage of the fact that people are thinking about stopping smoking. And one of the most subtle types of advertisement is in smoking, getting people to stop smoking, is this concept of why, the motivation to stop smoking. And it's not for your benefit, it's for the benefit of your children. Have you come across adverts like that? I used to work for a doctor in Manchester, and when the babies came in and the mothers were smokers, she would say, how much does the baby smoke? And it seemed to motivate them to consider their ways to a higher level than just saying, you should stop smoking. Sometimes the why can actually motivate us. One of the things that I find really helpful in my life is for those of us that have still got to work, and there are days you get up and you just don't want to go to work. Isn't that right? In fact, there's days you could get up and you don't want to go to school, you don't want to go to university, you don't want to go to work. And what I've discovered, if I understand something of why work is significant, it gives me motivation to keep going to work. And as a very young believer, one of the things that the Lord showed me and taught me was that the whole of life was worship. And that whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your strength, as unto God, to the glory of God, as an act of worship. And I was delivering lemonade to the glory of God. I was working in a boring office in the summer to the glory of God. And when I get frustrated with patients, I start to think, I'm not doing this for me. I'm not even doing it for them. I'm doing it for the glory of God. Something shifts and changes when we understand why we're doing what we're doing. And if I was to say to you this morning, I would love you this year to strengthen your personal devotional life. I want to give a why reason to motivate us to do that. If I was to say just this morning, value our corporate gathering to come together to worship God, I don't want to just say, let's do that. I want to share something of why that's significant. If I was to say to us, let's be active in doing good works and be missional where we live, I want to say why that's significant. Or let's continue to do works and be missional globally. I want to share something of the why we say those things. I want to start, first of all, is why would anyone want to strengthen their personal devotional life with Jesus? Zechariah 1 verse 3 says this. This is God speaking. Therefore say to him, thus declares the Lord of hosts, return to me, says the Lord of hosts, and I will return to you. Here's God saying to his people, return to me and I will return to you. That this God wants intimate relationship with his people. Now, if I was to say, read the Bible every day as if your life depends on it. Pray to God every day as if your life depends on it. Walk in the Spirit every day. What if I give a why that's important by God's grace? This is what I would say. What if there was a God, a person, who was the wisest person in the universe? And what if that person had all power? And that person loved you more than anybody else? And that person wanted to speak to you personally, every day. What if that was actually true? What if that is the nature of this God? And what if that person, what if that God went to the most extreme lengths to give us a relationship with him? What if that God died to make it possible and rose from the dead? And that God wanted to meet with us every day and give us something from his word and from his spirit that was for our benefit and our good. I couldn't get enough of this. For the first time in about 10 years, I woke up this morning and didn't feel like reading my Bible. And I read it anyway. And I was sort of contemplating, Lord, you know, I feel a bit fluey today and I don't have the same motivation to read the Bible. I don't have the same desire. And I got an insight. I said, you know, there might be people like that who feel like that every day. And I said, Lord, what can I say to people who have no desire to hear your voice, have no desire to read your word, have no desire to pray for you? And I would say this, ask God for the desire and he'll give it to you. Seek and you will find. Ask and you will receive. Knock and the door will be opened unto you. And it wasn't true of me all my life that I couldn't get enough of God. You know what I mean? I couldn't get enough of his word. That somehow or other, there came a time in my life where I had to ask God for the desire, and he gave it to me. And what he's done for me, he'll do for you. What he's done for others, he will do for you. So I want to encourage you, hear his voice every day. You know, what we actually believe as Christians is staggering if we actually believe it. If I was to say to you, what famous celebrity would you like an audience with? Can I tell you something? That person is nothing compared to the God of the universe. That's the reality of what we actually believe, that he wants to speak to us. And as was said last week, my sheep hear my voice. That all would know me from the least to the greatest. And that's what God wants. See, when Jesus died on the cross, it wasn't just to forgive us. It was to bring us into relationship to God. So I want to encourage you to take a step forward this year in your personal devotional life. Tommy pointed out the first hymn Andrew chose, "And Can It Be?" And I don't know if those words can go up real quick, Jonathan, "And Can It Be?" the first verse. But the guy who wrote this song, put up the next few lines there. Did he really believe that my God should die for me? And he wants to speak to us. He encourages us to make our needs known. He encourages us to talk to him. What is amazing that God would speak to you? Let me tell you something even more amazing. That God will hear your voice. He will hear your heart. He will hear your concerns and your burdens. So yes, let's read the Bible every day. Yes, pray every day. Walk in the Spirit every day. But why? Because we have this incredible relationship. And just to take it to the next level, why come together as a church? Why be part of the corporate body? Why be part of the church life? Because what happens is if I'm relating to God and you're relating to God, and we come together, where two or three are together in his name, he's in the midst. When we meet together in homes, when we meet together on a Sunday service, that our personal relationship with God is there. But now we're together and we're able to share out of the riches of that. How many times have I been seeking God and sensing God is speaking to me? And when I come to the corporate gathering, something is said which is right in line with what I was hearing. Am I the only person who experiences that? Have you found the very thing you've been praying about, the very thing you've been reflecting on, the very thing God has been speaking to you about comes up in conversation? Or someone shares something from the front? Don't miss that. Because there are some incredible promises where two or three are together in my name, I am in the midst. If two or three agree together touching anything, I will do it. And if I was the devil, what I would want to do is stop people meeting together with purpose, with meaning, in unity. Because I don't want them to discover the presence of God and that incredible promise that where two or three are together and agree together, God will move. And so I want to encourage us to keep valuing the body of Christ and the church of Christ. Because we are designed for relationship with God and with one another. Another minor prophet to quote, Joel chapter 2. And thanks to Andrew who brought the book of Joel alive for us. And this is probably the highlight of this book. And it's these verses in verse 28 and 29. It says like this: "And it will come to pass afterward, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on the male and female servants, in those days I will pour out my spirit." Here's what religion says. Only special people can have access to God. Here's what God says: "The day has come when I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and all can know me, from the least to the greatest, and all can prophesy and speak words of spirit and life to one another." And so we should not devalue this whole concept of being together in his name, that we need one another, we need the body of Christ. There are different gifts, different roles, different talents, but the one Spirit. And that's why we have body ministry. That's why we have team ministry. That's why we don't have a one man does everything. Because we actually believe that God will pour out his Spirit on all flesh, young and old, men and women, slave and free. And we are living in the days when God has poured out his Spirit upon his people. So that's the second why point. Why value the corporate life of the church, the coming together to pray, the coming together to worship, the coming together to edify and build up one another? There's purpose in it. There's reality in it. There's meaning in it. Brings me to the third and fourth point, which I'll fuse together. Why be active in good works and mission where we live and move and have being? If I was to say, you know, we should do good works, we should have a bless a neighbor month every month, we should do acts of kindness, we should look after people, visit the widows, and just keep our eyes open for the good works God has planned for us to do, you may or may not be motivated to actually do that. And I have two motivational whys why this is more important, more attractive than you realize. Why do good works and be missional to the place and the situation where we live and work and have our being? First one is a very positive thing, and the second one is a sort of a negative. You can fasten your seatbelts for that one, but it's important. But the positive one is this. If I was to ask this question, what is a disciple of Jesus Christ? What is a follower of Jesus in today's world? What does it mean to be a disciple or a follower of Jesus? Here's what it is. It's to live the life Jesus would live if he was in your shoes. If he lived where you lived, worked where you worked, in the community you're in the church you're in, to be a disciple of Jesus is to live the life Jesus would live in your time, space, world. What sort of neighbor would he be? What sort of friend would he be? How would he play football? How would he work? How would he encourage people? How would he treat elderly people? How would he treat children? How would he treat the stranger? How would he treat the person that everybody else ignores? That's why it's so significant to have an army of ordinary people living the life of Christ in our time, space, world. Therefore, if you haven't signed up for Bless a Neighbor Month, why not do it? Therefore, value your network of relationships. Value the people God has placed you with. Value the people that you know. See, sometimes when it comes to my network of relationships, I could think like this: oh, I wish the Apostle Peter was here for them. I wish the Apostle Paul was here for them. I wish Jesus was here in the flesh for the people I work with. I've got good news for you. You're there. And the same Holy Spirit who anointed Peter, who anointed Paul, who anointed Jesus, is the same Holy Spirit who's with us and lives in us. Wow. What sort of neighbor would he be? What sort of friend would he be? What sort of workmate would he be in my shoes? That's the nature of being a follower of Jesus Christ. That's what a disciple is. And on that note, please don't underestimate the reality of you being present with people. The gift of being and the gift of presence. Have you noticed there are certain people in your life, when they are present, they bring a security to you? That they don't have to necessarily do anything fancy or say anything clever, but their presence makes all the difference. Don't underestimate the person who is living in you. And when you are present, he is present. We are salt, we are light, we are ambassadors everywhere we move and live and have our being. And I have experienced some things where I haven't done anything, I haven't said anything, and people have occasionally said, your presence made all the difference. And I'm thinking, what? I didn't say anything clever. I was aware of my unworthiness, if you like, as Tommy said, and my weakness. I wasn't even aware. But there is something about the presence of God in us and with us. Don't underestimate that. So stay active. Stay intentional. Stay open to doing good works and being missional in our time, space, world. That's the positive. Are you ready for the negative? I'll use myself rather than others here, but if the cap fits, work, use it. Paul brought a message, and some people say from Obadiah, and a lot of people say that was the first time they heard anything preached from the book of Obadiah. It was excellent. But let me read a couple of verses from Obadiah, which is about the two brothers, isn't it? Esau and Jacob, and they were very closely related, but one of them was a man of purpose, a man that God was going to use, a protege or whatever, for the kingdom. The other one was an enemy. Although closely related, he was cursed. And it says in verse 10 and 11, because of the violence done to your brother Jacob. And by the way, do you know what the worst feuds are? Between brothers. Between closely related people. The viciousness of some of the feuds that take place are within families. Isn't that true? Amen. I see that hand. Anyway, because of the violence done to your brother Jacob, shame will cover you and you'll be cut off forever. On the day you stood aloof, on the day that strangers carried off his wealth, you were like one of them. And I suggested on that day, Paul preached, and I'm going to remind you, that in a way this is a picture of our flesh, which is Esau, and the new creation we are in Christ, that's Jacob. Very closely related. My flesh and my spirit are very closely related. And my flesh hates the man of the spirit. He wants to destroy him. My flesh is my biggest enemy. I reckon for some of us that our own personal flesh is more dangerous than many other things that you would think of. And the man of the spirit, the new creation you want to be and I want to be, they're in conflict with one another. And one of the reasons why we need to do good when we have opportunity, and we need to be missional as we have opportunity, is it's one of the best ways of putting the flesh to death. As I say, I'll use myself as an example rather than you, but if the cap fits, do you know what my flesh is like? It's the most selfish thing imaginable. My flesh thinks he's the center of the universe. He really does. He loves his own company. And, you know, it's not, you know, left his own devices, he could forget about everybody else. Therefore, I'll start to think of others. Therefore, I'll bless a neighbor. I'll declare war on my selfishness. I'll put others first. I'll put to death that selfishness in me that is hindering God's purpose and God's glory being manifested through me. It is more significant to give and to be generous and to serve others than just giving and helping and serving others. It's a way of declaring war on the natural tendency, certainly in me, to be selfish. Now, I'm sure it doesn't apply to anybody else. The love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, Jesus said. Jesus says you can't serve God and money. That's why it's good to give. That's why it's good to be generous. That's why it's good to open your home to people, to practice hospitality, to think outside of ourselves. It's actually counter to that life of the flesh that I don't want anything to do with. Let's put it to death. Bury that thing. Get rid of it. My financial advisor made a very wise comment once. He was talking about the lottery. I don't know about you, but I'm getting these phone calls from England giving me free lottery tickets for a month and all these kind of nonsense, all this nonsense. I generally don't speak to them. And they were asking me this question, you know, well, do you ever do the lottery? And I don't do the lottery. And then they asked, why? Why? And when my financial advisor was asked, why do you not do the lottery? He didn't say it because it was wrong. Do you know what he said? I couldn't trust myself with that amount of money, that I would do the right thing. And you know, one of the features of the flesh life, one of the features of the man outside Christ is that we love comfort and convenience and money and entertainment. And there's something significant when we as a people or we as an individual rise up and look outward and begin to think of others. And instead of wanting it all for myself, that we learn to share. It's very, very significant. And so, why do good works? Why think of other people? Why be on mission? Positively, because we want to be people that live the life of Jesus out in our time, space, world. But secondly, I want to say no to that part of me that's selfish and inward looking and loves his own comforts. What an opportunity. And that brings me to the last point, which I said would fuse. Why be missional? Why do good works on a global scale? It was very interesting to me when someone said, pray for Iran this morning. I think it was Morag prayed, and there was such a burden in the prayer you prayed, and I almost wept. I'm thinking, I don't know anyone in Iran. But that was good for me to be made aware of a church that is paying a price that I'm not paying. There's something about having a global mindset, thinking outside the box. Part of the whole emphasis of the minor prophets was to get the big picture and to get perspective. It's good to pray for our own needs, but it's also good to pray big prayers. It's good to pray for our own family, but it's good to pray for other families. It's good to pray for our own church, but it's good to pray for the wider body. It's good to pray for our own government, but it's good to pray for the governments of other countries. It's good for me. It's good for us. It brings perspective. And so why, as a church in Dunmurry, do we take an interest in Malawi and Myanmar and Macedonia and different countries? Why do we pray for this unreached people group in Libya? Why do we do things like that? Because it's much more significant and healthy for us than the flesh and the natural mindset would realize. And so that's my message, my transitional message. It's kind of a new year one. Minor prophets, we're nearly finished. By the way, we have one more to read, one more preaching on the book of Hosea next week. And Hosea is a big, wee minor prophet of 14 chapters. But if you would read that for next week, we'll conclude the minor prophets. But this message was somewhere in between. And my main point was, let's consider our ways and why we do certain things. Why we have a personal devotional life. Why we value being part of the body of Christ. Why we're active in good works and being missional where we live and move and work. And why do we value good works and being missional with a global perspective? Amen.